Today's program is brought to you by Michter's Distillery. Visit michters.com to find out how their taste is everything, cost be damned attitude is creating some of the finest whiskeys available.
I'm Laura Stanley, host of Inside School Food. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. And we are back from a short vacation. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. When I am not here hosting In the Drink, you can find me at one of our restaurants, Dell'Anima, Lartuzzi, La Piccio, or Anfora, or probably for the next month or so, Altalinea, which is a little pop-up that we do in the Highline Hotel for the summer. I very much missed everyone here at the Heritage Radio Network family for the month we took off. It's great to see you guys, Jack and Jory. Welcome back. Thanks for everything. And we have a great show for you today. But before we get started, I do just want to bring a little bit of light to the situation going on in California right now. As everyone probably knows, there's been many months of drought, which has really sparked some pretty terrible wildfires. I've been speaking with some winemakers out there who have really seen some hardships due to this. First, there's going to be a significant amount of smoke damage from the fires, and then it even looks like there's some vineyard sites that are going to be severely affected and might have to replant next year. So we'll keep you updated as to what's going on, but our thoughts go out to everyone in California. Hopefully you guys get some rain and some relief soon. All right. So that being said, we do have a great show today. I am really excited to have Jose Valdez on our first show back from vacation. Jose is the maestro tequilero, or the master distiller for Tequila Partida. We have had Tequila Partida at all of our restaurants since we've opened. I am a big fan. I love the whole line. I have to say I am particularly a fan of the Reposado. That's what I have that at home and drink that frequently. He is a young buck. He's been there since the beginning of Tequila Partida and has worked his way up, and he's now the master distiller. Welcome to In the Drink.
Thank you, John, for the invitation, and thank you for hosting me today.
Yes. Did you say on the... We actually ended up sharing a Subway over here. You said this is actually your first interview ever? I can't believe that. Or your first radio interview.
It's my first interview radio in ever. And not even in TV in any... I have only interviewing... not a live interview.
Wow. Well, I can't believe that, considering the quality of the tequila that you produce, and I guess in the nature tonight is the Republican National Committee debate for the presidential nomination. So I will not ask you any gotcha questions.
Thanks.
No tough questions at all. But if you could just give us a quick the quick summary of Tequila Partida. It's a newer tequila brand. It's only been around for 6 or 7 years, right? How did it come to be, and how did you get involved personally?
Well, this is a brand that has been in the market since 2005. We launched it here in New York. And the conception or the idea of Partida was to do a fine tequila and very easy to drink, but at the same time with personality. So when we, I personally get involved back in 2004 when I met Gary Shansby, which is the founder and CEO of the brand. He went to Guadalajara where I live. And he came to a law firm where my brother used to work, and he introduced me with Gary, and he explained me the idea he had to create a new brand of tequila, but with high quality, and want some people, Mexican people, involved in this project. So he invited me to be part of the team, and At the beginning, I was working in many aspects of the brand, not only in production, but also in logistics and the packaging, the legal. But suddenly we realized that it was very important to get into the real agave quality and the production process. So,
and at that time, were you working in the spirits industry, or this was just...
No. It was I'm an industrial engineer. I used to work in the electronics manufacturing. Guadalajara is like a Silicon Valley in Mexico, so many electronics companies such as HP, IBM, Apple, Intel, all those electronic brands, they manufacture in they have facilities and they create great jobs for the people in our town. And I was involved in that industry before. So for me, it was a great opportunity to change my lifestyle and to be more passionate about a Mexican product and a product that I can actually taste and be part of the whole decision of the name, the conception of the design and the coloring. So you
don't look old enough.
Yeah.
To... 11 years ago, have been working in this other industry. Can I ask, how old are you?
Yes, I'm 34.
You're 34?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I am going to start drinking more tequila because you look at least 10 years younger than that. That is crazy. So how has the brand evolved? This guy came in, you're like, great, let's do this. Or did you believe in it right from the beginning? And what has been the growth? Because now it's a really major tequila brand.
Yeah, it is a major tequila brand because many factors. It was the great reputation you gain with the liquid, with the good liquid. So at the beginning, and the main philosophy of this brand is to do things with high quality and integrity, and in taking care of every single detail of everything. And so what we did 10 years ago was to find the right distillery and the right region. And there are two big regions in tequila, and we decided to do it in the original region, which is the Tequila Valley. The other region is Los Altos or Highlands, and it's more, it's newer, that zone, that area. So we decided to do it in Amatitán, and then 5 years ago we moved to Tequila Town. And we had to get into the knowledge of the tequila because, you know, it's a national brand, it's a national beverage, so we need... at that moment to understand everything around that. So we got some advisors, people who used to be in any distillery or in the fields for more than 30, 40 years. 10 years ago, it was very close, very jealous, the maestros tequileros and the farmers of the agave. They it was more like a traditional way to teach or to pass the knowledge about that. Now, because of the globalization, and I will say that they understand that we need to grow more the industry and be working more as a team. I think the CRT, which is a council of the tequila regulation, has been great for the industry to educate and to have the... available the knowledge for everybody to want to learn more about tequila and to get involved into the production, into the agave cultivation and harvesting.
Yeah, so tequila is now very big business. The tequila as a region is internationally famous. Does that trickle down to the people who work in the tequila region as well? Has it been a big economic boon for everyone?
At the beginning, it was only from the industrial and the people who actually sell the tequila, the part of the retail. It was the one that made more money and the exportation. But now, since 5 years ago, the farmers union start working very close with the producer, with the industrial guys to get in a very fair price for the kilo of agave, and it has been increased the price, I would say, in a in a good way, in a fair play, fair way. And now I think it's doing great business, the farmers and the industrial, and as well as the big corporation that has bought the brands.
Mm-hmm. And how rare is it for the industrial or the producers to actually be farming themselves or to own their tequila, their agave sites? Is that completely unheard of, or how do you do it, for instance?
I would say not all the producer they have the land, because it's a raw material. It's the only spirit in the world that not only tequila but all the spirit beverage that takes so long, the raw material. It takes 7 to 10 years. So the hardest part is to have a lot of land to supply all the demand, because it has the appellation of origin. That means you cannot produce outside of the territory, which is Jalisco, completely state of Jalisco, and a few municipalities of other 4 states. So you have to have a lot of land, and even the biggest brand of tequila, they cannot supply with their own agave. They need to find other sources of agave, either with brokers or with the small producers. And that's the way we do in Partida. It's a completely other business to grow and cultivate agave. And we are focused more in the production process. And we have a great relationship with agaveros, with farmers and brokers, to find they know our policies of quality. We are looking for the best agave in terms of age, sugar, the weight they harvest, the weight, the size, and the freshness. So,
and I know this is a step removed from you, but do you also take into account any sustainability of the agave? I'm sure there are some farmers who do things in a more sustainable way than others.
Yeah, from our part, which is the production, we take care of the bagasse, which is the fiber that we when you squeeze the sugar in the agave, mm-hmm. So that fiber needs to get back to the fields, and we create compost with that and with the vinasa, which is the residual that we obtain in the distillation. So you have to treat those waste and put it back into the land. That I would say is the way we do it, and also to treat the water so we can reuse some of the water for the services. So the consumption of water normally is 20 liters of water per liter of tequila in producing. So it's a lot of water. Even though we have a well, we try and we have it running a program to reduce the consumption of water, to reuse it.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure there's like industrial uses that you could use the water for after, and you're not just getting rid of it. You're like cooling and all that.
Yeah, many in the industry, many are using the rain water. They are collecting mm-hmm. the rain water. Guadalajara and the region of Tequila, it's I would say it's 3 months of raining, heavy raining. So it's a great opportunity. It's an area that we have to develop more, to collect more water in the raining and use it for everything, for the services, for the distillery.
That's great. And then can you talk a little bit about how tequila factors in to modern-day Mexican culture? Who's drinking tequila? Is it only very wealthy people who can enjoy the fine tequila products like Partida Añejo, or is it really pervasive throughout Mexican culture? How does it fit in?
Well, if you are in Guadalajara, you are lucky because you have too many options of tequila, because it's the capital of the tequila. But if you are in other zone of Mexico, the distribution is only with the big brands. Mm-hmm. And the big brands, they do have value tequilas and premium tequilas. But we are in the category of craft or artisanal tequila, that it's only available in the region of Guadalajara, or you in Europe or in U.S. In other markets.
How would you define a craft tequila?
Well, I have read a few articles, and it's about the size of sales, and I believe it's 100,000 less than 100 1,000 cases per year.
So truly only about the size of the sales. There are no processes that go into making something craft versus not craft.
I will add that it's also the philosophy of using, you know, sustainability and to use fresh, to pay fair prices for the agaveros and to think in the employees at the distillery and to do the traditional method, combine the traditional and new method, which is the key factor that Partida found that it is the best way to produce tequila, combining the antique and the new methods.
All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to taste through a few, well, not we, just me and Jose here are going to taste through a couple of the Tequila Partida tequila, so we'll see you in a bit.
Michter's Distillery is a proud sponsor of In the Drink and HeritageRadioNetwork.org. At Michter's, our passion is making the finest whiskeys possible. When you only make small batch and single barrel whiskeys like Michter's does, your whiskey has to be perfect. No detail is too small, from careful attention to the wood used in the construction of our barrels, to lower barrel entry proof before heat cycled aging in advance of exacting chill filtration. And no whiskey gets bottled until Michter's master distiller says it's just right. Michter's cost be damned, taste is everything attitude is apparent in every sip of its smooth, rich whiskeys. Is it worth it? A lot of spirits lovers seem to think so. Food & Wine magazine called Michter's the best American whiskey. Bon Appetit said, it's amazing. And the Wall Street Journal had one special word for Michter's, phenomenal. For more information, visit Michter's.com or simply visit your favorite bartender or retailer and ask for Michter's. Here's what Heritage Radio Network would sound like without donations. It's not as good as the show you were just listening to, is it? Give us a few bucks. Help keep us running. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Click the Donate tab on the top right corner.
All right. We are back with Jose Valdez, Maestro Tequilero. Did I butcher that?
Yeah. Many people say Master Distiller, but Maestro Tequilero covers, let's say, the whole chain of production.
Yes, I got it right. Tequila Partida, as I said before, one of my favorites. We tend to have that at our restaurants. Help me, Jose, to understand why it is one of my favorites. I think of all the spirits out there, maybe tequila is the one I have the least firsthand knowledge with. I've never actually been to Mexico. We've established that it is a craft tequila, so it is smaller in production, and you have some sustainability, which I love to hear. But other than that, like, what in the production method and the processes makes it so delicious?
Yeah, I think it's mainly two things. The first thing is the raw materials. So it's only agave and water. And the agave, like I mentioned before, it must be the best agave in the region, and it must be in the same region, because many other producers get agave from other sources, different areas. So it's a combination of different plants. And in our case, we only buy agave from the Tequila Valley, which is located in Tequila and Amatitan, in that region.
So you have great agave, you have water from your own well. And then do you add yeast to it, or is it an ambient yeast?
So we don't add any yeast. The yeast is natural. It's a natural that comes from the agave or from the environment. And the only thing what we do in the fermentation is to, which is a open fermentation, it's just to control the time with natural nutrients. So mm-hmm. we add some source of nitrogen so the yeast can reproduce in a natural way, but controlling the temperature and the time. So instead of, because if you leave most of for fermented in a natural way, it's going to take 5 to 7 days, and sometimes you cannot control the flavors. And so we only control the temperature and timing, and it takes 3 days. But it's also, Partida is one of the few tequila brands in the world that only use natural things during the production process, and at the end we don't add any coloring, any artificial color.
And that's permitted in tequila.
It is allowed by the Mexican law to add less than 1% of coloring. We call avocantes, which is any essence of agave, vanilla,
caramel.
And the reason behind that is because many distilleries, they need to meet the international demand. So they bought bulk tequila from a small producer. They put it all together. They blend it. Mm-hmm. And then they put their formula, which is some essence of vanilla, cinnamon, whatever.
Oh, even flavors.
Yeah. You can add flavors. Yeah, you can put flavors.
And you don't have to write on it that flavors have been added.
No, it's your recipe. So our recipe is everything natural.
I love to hear that. I find that my favorite wines tend to also be made with an ambient yeast. I obviously think about it from the wine world, but I feel like that gives you the most distinctive product, the product that is more complex. It's certainly much more difficult to do because you can't see or measure or analyze what type of your yeast the ambient is, because it's all around. But that I find that at the end, the products tend to be the most delicious and unique. And maybe that is one of the big factors for Partida, why I like it so much.
Yeah, talking about the yeast, there are some, I would say, two groups of yeast. One is very efficient in terms of production of alcohol. And that's the problem in many tequila brands. They only focus on be efficient and be financial, more efficient, make more money with less investment. And in Partida, obviously, we care about the business, but we care about more of the quality. So we combine the yeast that create flavors and also is efficient at the same time.
Cool. So I know it's only 10:22, but I would love to try some of these tequilas that you've brought to share. I imagine we start with the Blanco.
Yes, the Blanco is the base of the rest, so we can start with the Blanco. And according to the Mexican law, the Blanco it can be aged less than 2 months. After 2 months, it's called Reposado. But most of the brand, we don't age at all. So that's why they call silver, and it's completely white. But you may find some Blancos that they have some aging.
They would age it and then charcoal filter out the coloring?
No, you can age the Blanco in for less than 2 months. Okay. You can call Blanco.
Okay. Now I know that a lot of tequila purists and enthusiasts prefer Blanco. They think that has the most distinctive notes of whether it's the valley or the higher altitude, the notes of the agave itself. I love your Blanco. It's very complex, very creamy.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we are taking agave from the region of Tequila and Valley, it's more earthy and more dry, that area. So you can get all the minerals of the volcano of Tequila as well. But we want to create a balanced Blanco with the expression of agave and with the fruit, not completely fruit, but citrus, such as grapefruit, lime.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, the best tequila is the one that you enjoy and you can find, you can discover, you can sip it and discover different flavor every sip and doesn't burn.
And if we were to get geeky about it, though, and you started to touch on it, how do you analyze the flavors that are coming from the agave and the flavors that are coming from the land?
That is a tough question. I will say that you need to be in tequila to understand, to be harvesting and to taste actually the agave fresh, so you can tell this is the flavor of this agave, and then go through the production process and taste actually every the agave cook, and then the mosto, and so you can associate those flavors with the tequila. It's almost impossible if a person never been in the tequila that realize this tequila is from highlands or lowlands.
Okay.
It's very hard to say.
Very hard. I mean, this is so delicious. It's this creaminess too, yeah, that I think is very pleasant on the palate, but adds another level of complexity to it. It's really nice.
Thank you.
There's a legend, I don't know if it's a legend here, but I've been hearing recently that people feel that agave-based spirits are somehow less bad for you, that are they're more healthy than grain-based spirits. Do you have any research to back that up? Make me feel better about my margarita drinking habits. So.
I personally believe that since the agave has been 7 to 10 years, all that energy, all that sun, all the weather, all the soil that it's from the volcano, you can feel that energy in this drink. I believe so that the inulin, which is a type of sugar that it's in the agave, is very good for the human consumption. It's healthier, and the nectar that is created with that sugar, the inulin, we call the agave nectar or agave syrup, is very healthy. Actually, people with diabetes can drink it. It's sweeter, but it has lower calories and it's better. So I believe so that it's healthier to drink tequila.
Totally.
Than
I mean, you go to a high-end coffee shop today in New York City, and it's always agave is one of the options. But let's move on to the reposado, which I have to admit is usually my favorite. I love this tequila.
Yeah, the reposado, like I mentioned, it must be at least 2 months of aging, but we age 6 months. Mm-hmm. So one of the distinction of Fortita is we go above the minimum of aging time. Instead of 2 months, 6 months. Instead of a year in añejo, a year and a half. And the reposado, what we're looking is to reduce the aggressivity of the blanco, because the blanco sometimes it can be very aggressive and very alcoholic. So the wood, the white oak, the American white oak, with we purchased the barrel from Jack Daniel's, and the big difference with other distilleries that we receive those barrels within 10 days after those barrels are empty. So we fill them right away when we receive it, and we capture all those flavor of the Jack Daniel's, and we only use 3 years more, and then we sell them.
Okay, so that's why it is so integrated and balanced, because it's already been used. First of all, you're not using like new oak, and then it's also, I imagine, since it's probably a little damp still when you got it, there's still some in the wood, so the absorption of the tequila isn't as immediate into the wood because the wood already has some dampness to it.
Exactly. We have tried before with new barrels, and the problem is that the wood is very aggressive, and the flavor is so intensive that you cannot tell it's a tequila sometimes. You can say any other spirit, but not tequila. The agave is missing.
Yeah, I love this, how the wood notes are very, very subtle. It brings out just more complexity, more spice, citrus peel and citrus oil notes that really complex and not woody at all. And I like that about this quite a bit.
Yeah, like I said, it's all about balance. And we try to balance the vanilla and the honey, the all the sweet flavor, but at the same time that you can taste the agave.
All right, and we're moving on to the añejo in a kind of fuchsia-colored bottle here. Is there any significance to the colors, the blue of the blanco and the green of the reposado? And
well, talking about the packaging, we create this bottle we call sexy bottle because it has the curves, and we were thinking in the women, because the women, the consumption of tequila is higher in women because of the margarita.
Is that true? I had no idea.
And the color is because of the Mexican color, very bright, very traditional. We want to share all that tradition and put the name of Mexico high, that we can do high-end products and share our culture with all the world.
Yeah, and talk to us about, so how long has the añejo been aged?
It's 18 months, a year and a half. The range it's that the Mexican law allows you is 1 year to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how the agave reacts to wood so much of a different way than grain does. If you were to have a whiskey in the United States that is 1 year or 18 months old, it still seems so raw to me. Many of the young whiskeys that I've been trying seem like raw and unfinished, and they really need so much more aging. But the agave, even in the 6 months, makes such a huge difference, and certainly in your 18 months. Does that have to do something with the agave itself, or is it the conditions in which you're aging? Is it much warmer than maybe they might be aging in Kentucky or New York? Tell us about how come that happens.
I think both, but the second one I think is the most important. We are located in the tequila town, and the temperature is higher than in the north. So one time we received a whiskey master distiller of Scotland, and he told us about that difference. In Scotland, it's very cold, so 6 months of aging in tequila, it could be maybe 3 years in Scotland. So that I would say it's agave spirit, but more important the weather condition.
So your aging room is not temperature controlled.
I mean it's quiet, it's cold, it's dark, but we don't put the air condition or humidity control, anything.
Nothing. So it's a real, I mean, this is an authentic product of tequila, and I absolutely love that about Partida.
Yes, thank you. We our commitment is to do the things right with the best agave, and to keep the consistency, because many brands start very good at the beginning, and then when they increase their sales, they cannot control and keeping that quality level.
Wow. Jose Valdez, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to have you on In the Drink. I meant to say at the top of the show also, if you'd like to listen to previous episodes of In the Drink, you can always find them on iTunes, on the Heritage Radio Network website. Hopefully you can also sign up for our list on iTunes, and you can always get the newest episodes. Also just wanted to send a big thanks. I miss you guys to our producer, Jory Morales, and engineer, Jack Inslee. You guys are the best. Thank you for putting the show together every week. And today's break music was provided by Mamarazzi, and the theme song every week, my good friend, Rennie Lopez. And thanks once more to Michter's, the sponsor of the show. We love your bourbons and your whiskeys. And also, of course, thank you guys. Thank you, listener, for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please, as I said before, tell your friends to subscribe to the show on iTunes, and always get in touch with us at Radio Network, at heritageradionetwork.org. Next up, a short clip of the Farm Report. Thanks, guys.
So prior to the founding of your farm, which is in Australia's Kimberley region, chia was mostly found in South America. Where, like, did it geographically locate in specific types of climate, or does it do well in a variety of climates?
Ever wonder where chia seeds are grown? John Foss explains on episode 236 of the Farm Report.
It's a photosensitive crop that needs to be grown around 15 degrees north or south of the equator, because the day length post-flowering of the seed is what affects the omega-3 content in the oil. So it can only be grown in quite a tight latitude globally, and that latitude is where our farms are in northern Australia, where I started the chia industry and then brought in a number of other farmers that were at the time growing sugar and sugarcane and looking to change from a commodity crop and be part of a crop that was going to make a positive difference to health and wellness. So they were very eager to follow with me and join and grow chia. And now, around the world, there's still some chia grown in Mexico and parts of Central and South America, and then Australia, where we have our chia farms.
To learn much, much more about how chia seeds grow, tune into the rest of the episode and find all episodes of The Farm Report on Heritage Radio Network and iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.